If you will open your Bibles up to the book of James, chapter 1. James, chapter 1. Dear Heavenly Father, we're ready to move right on into your word. And we know how meaningful your word is and how it is designed to bring us success in this life and that which is to come. Father, because you train us and move us in the area that we live eternally by, not temporally, but eternally. And so, Father, we know that your word, it dissects the whole man of us. And so today, as I share the word, what you placed on my heart to share with your people, may they get a hold of it, may they connect with it, and may they do it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. James chapter 1. Hallelujah. In James chapter 1, go to verse 5. Verse 5. James 1, 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Now, I'm reading out of the New King James. And he goes on to say, but let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now notice he says, if any of you lack wisdom. Well, we found out in Proverbs that the Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. It is the principal thing. But what most believers do not understand is the Bible is very clear that along with wisdom, get understanding. And the Hebrew meaning for the word understanding literally means the understanding of what wisdom is all about and its purpose. Or I could put it this way. The reason that wisdom comes is for you to connect with it and become one with it in understanding. The word understanding, it's a very interesting word. We're going to look at a lot of some real interesting words that you find in the Old Testament as well as in the New. And one of them about understanding, it means that which is vital for the wisdom. That which is vital for that wisdom. So in other words, understanding what it does, it gives the wisdom the ability to stay fixed in your heart. That's what establishes you. Not just the principle, but the understanding of the principle of something. What it does is it puts your heart in a fixed state. Are you following what I'm saying? It means that you now become established. Your heart is fixed and it's established in that wisdom because you understand the purpose for wisdom. You know, a lot of people know about the Lord, but it's important that you get to know his heart. Get an understanding of what the person of God is all about. That is very important. Because he didn't come into your life just to be a Lord over you. He came into your life to partner with you and become one with you. In thought and purpose and mind and mouth, everything. That is his new meaning. John was telling me just before the service, he said the word wait. If we wait upon the Lord, it's not referring to, you know, a waiter waiting on you at a table. It's referring to being meshed together with, integrated with. you're weaved together with the Lord. I looked that meaning up years ago, and they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. It's not talking about just sitting there waiting on God to do something. What it's referring to is there's an interaction with the giver and the receiver. There's a meshing together. They're working together to form a unity, to bond together with. That's why understanding that is so important. But we talked about the principle always comes first before the understanding. That is why many people can lose the principle, or principles will change in their life. But if the principle is solidified with understanding, it won't change. The principle remain intact. That's why a lot of times you say, Well, why are they so off course now? I knew they were on course. I knew they were clicking with God. But how did they get off course? Well, it's probably that they received the wisdom of God, but they didn't get understanding with it. For an example, I gave several examples of this. The principal thing is Jesus is the way. But the vital thing, He's the only way. Are you following me? And if you try to come in any other way other than through Jesus, then you're a thief and a robber. You're trying to possess something that a thief would do. Are you following me? But really, what God wants you to do is He wants you to come right on in through the door. You know what I mean? He don't want you coming around sneaking around at night and like a thief does and try to get in some other way. There's only one way, and that is through Jesus Christ. He is the only way. You must be born again. A lot of people don't understand what that term means. Well, actually, the Bible, I'm going to tell you, in the principal thing, you must be born again. But the vital part of it is if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're not His. So if you don't get born again, you're not His. You can have religion in your thinking, but not be born again. You see. Now, the reason I brought that up, notice what he says. But let him ask in faith, no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Now notice, for let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Now we're going to look at some words and word meanings here that's going to really be interesting for you. Notice he says, he is a double-minded man and stable in all his ways. Actually, in the Greek, it's worded differently. Yes, I would like some nose stuff here. Did you pick that up, Sue? Yeah, she did. She knows her husband. I'm going to turn myself off for a second, unless you're interested in what I sound like blowing my nose. Oh, that is so much better. Now, notice here he says he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Well, in the Greek it's worded a little differently. It says he is a man who is two-souled. This man is unstable in all his ways. Now, I want to talk to you a minute about two-souled or double-mindedness. This word is really a unique word. It's not the kind of word that you would think from this term, but this is what it means. It means one whose loyalties are divided. He desires to maintain his loyalties, but on the other hand, he has a preference to live according to other morals and ethics. You know, I used to think he just has one mind playing against his other mind, but really that's not what this word is referring to. It's referring to a man whose loyalties are divided. It literally means that on the one hand he desires to be loyal, but on the other hand he has other preferences that would get in the way that he's accustomed to, such as morals or ethics. So he's saying when a man has two minds or two souls that creates an instability in him, it literally means, the word unstable is very interesting, it literally means one who can't be restrained. He's insubordinate and unruly. It means a man that you can never tell which way they will go. You can never tell which way they're going to go because they're not corrallable. They're not rulable. They're insubordinate. They don't know how to follow authority. They don't know how to have respect for authority. They don't know how to amplify themselves as one being under authority. So when you look at a double-minded man, and it says that this man doubts, well, his doubting is not predicated specifically on whether God's word is true or not. We can all attest to that without having any deep revelation or being a rocket scientist. Every one of you have a desire to be dedicated to the word of God and to trust it and let it work for you. How many can say amen to that? But I'm going to tell you something. Most of the time when we think about doubting, we always come from the viewpoint of the fact that we doubt whether God's word is true or not. Literally, this word literally means a man who allows two ways of thinking to rule him. In other words, on one hand, we have the wisdom of God that rules only one way. But on the other hand, we have our upbringing that has taught us by experience to live this way. Are you following me? And understanding this word, two-souled individual, literally means that when a man is sold out, he does not question what he is to do. His loyalties are not divided. He's committed to what is told him because he knows how to submit. It's very interesting. People that don't know how to submit to authority think that they're submitting to the Word of God. The whole essence of the Word of God is submission. It means the Word of God is able to speak to you in a form of disagreement with you, but yet you submit to it for its purpose. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, why am I bringing all this up? Well, how many of us would like the wisdom of God to come in such a way that whatever we ask for, we're going to receive? Amen. Well, today I'm going to share with you how your faith can be the victory that overcomes this world. And I got news for you. The number one point that I want to get across to you, it requires loyalty to the kingdom of God. Loyalty to the kingdom of God. So, Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? This word means to be of the same mind. So when I saw that, I began to realize, now, wait a minute. When he says a two-souled man, one who has divided loyalties, in other words, if Jesus is really your Lord, how submitted are you to his lordship? Or is another way of living that still promotes its authority in your life that you don't know how to put to death? It's very interesting. Now, with that said, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the spiritual church. The spiritual church. Paul established the Corinthian church, and Paul never had problems with the Corinthians. They were a perfect spiritual dynamo. Notice verse 4. I like the way Paul does things. He butters you up so he can spread you thin. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus. If you understand the Corinthian church, they walked in a lot of grace. Unfortunately, not what they chose, what God chose for them. No, shut up, Jen. Anyway. That you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge. This word enrich, plusira, literally means you are so wealthy you don't know what you've got. He goes on to say, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Actually, it's among you. so that you come short of no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it seemed like they had something going with God. Amen? He said, God is faithful by whom you are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 10. Now I plead with you. Uh-oh. What in the world is he pleading about? He says, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. You know what this word means? It means to be uniform in a testimony. To have a uniform testimony. Now notice this. And that there be no divisions among you. This word divisions means dissensions or a tearing or renting away from your fellowship with one another. But that you be perfectly joined together. And here we come right back to what James says about a two-soul man being unstable in all his ways. He says here that you be joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Come to the same conclusion. What? With the same mind. That you be joined together with one mind and one purpose. You know, I made a decision to really pay attention to a lot of different programs, Christian programs on TV, and to just kind of really, I wanted to change the way that I'm doing things as a pastor of this church. And part of that is to reach out and really listen and gain access to those that seemingly can really help me. And so as I'm listening to the programs and listening to the information, and there was some good ministers on there, but there was some horrible ministers. Horrible. This one guy got on there with a Jewish rabbi. He's a Christian. And the things they were saying, it so disheartened me. And I said, Lord, how can they be so successful when there's a tremendous violation of the understanding of the Word of God? He says, don't worry about it. He says, they don't have my people. And I went, what? He says, yeah. He says, those that are committed to me don't sit under that kind of stuff. It's because that's what they want to hear. And it challenged me. I said, God, we've got to do something about amplifying more what truth is really all about. And God began to share with me some things that we're going to be doing this year as a church. But I began to realize that many of them that were in error fit that the saying that you find in the Bible so much about being caught with winds of doctrine. Things that are whining by you or winding by you. How many of you know what the wind's all about? Sometimes we live in an area where there's a lot of trees, and sometimes I don't like the wind because those trees get to flopping around, and I don't want one coming down through my house, you know. I have to get out there and speak to the wind. Praise God. And I've done that too. I did that. Half of the night up worrying about this windstorm we were in, and finally it dawned on me, I'm going out there and speak to it. I went out there and spoke to it, and it calmed down. It took me 6 hours to come to that revelation. But so Paul is telling the Corinthian church, one thing is, you've got to not only have the same mind, but you've got to have the same mouth. You've got to be saying the same thing. One thing about leadership that makes it difficult is that when you get a leader alongside you that speaks differently than what you're speaking, that's when leadership gets very iffy. You've got to have the same mind and the same judgment. You've got to come into an agreement. And so we know that the reason the Corinthian church had such a hard time is because that church was more prone to church splits than any other church that is mentioned in the New Testament. Because they were speaking different things, they were thinking different things. It's amazing over the years how people come up to me and given me dreams and given me wisdom for our church, and God's never spoke it to me. It doesn't work because God only speaks through one person. We had a Moses and Aaron problem with that Exodus for the same reason. How many remember the spirits of Korah? They say, hey, listen, God can speak to these people too, you know. You're not the only one hanging around with God. And God says, step back, Moses and Aaron. These people are going by the wayside. Well, what do you mean? I'm going to consume them all. No, wait a minute, God, don't do that. And God said, okay, I'll settle the issue. Only the rebellious ones I'll consume. So the earth opened up and consumed them. It went straight into hell without any bypass. I'd like to think one man can lead us, but I think God is the only one, according to the prophecy, that doesn't change. And I think we need to follow him. He's not going to. So you're all kind of short of cash. Well, me being God, I'll change in the way I'm doing things so y'all can come out of this mess. God's always established a way out of any mess if man is willing to listen to him. Turn over to Psalms 1. Notice that in James, it said a man who's divided in his loyalties has a problem because he's unstable. He's not committed. He can't do something with himself. And one of the things that he can't do is he can't receive counsel from God because he's not submitted to God. If a person's submitted to God, then God can do something with that individual. In Psalms 1, at verse 1, it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now, the reason we went back right to Psalms is because it really complements what is being said over there in James. First of all, he says that the man who is double-minded, who tries to live out of two authorities or two loyalties, what happens to this individual? He says he ends up just like being in a ship on the ocean with no rudder. He's out of control. He has no way of directing himself. The wind and the sea carry him about wherever the governor listens or whatever the way that the waves take him. Because this individual has nothing in him to bring a stability or an opposition to the things that want to turn him in all kinds of directions. His loyalties are divided. Now notice here it says, first of all, the man that's blessed does something. He walks in the counsel. He does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Now the word walk here is a very interesting Hebrew word. It literally means a person who has chosen to take the path. It's a person who has chosen to walk that path. In other words, he had received instruction and he made a decision since he received the instruction to walk it. Because the word walk does not mean stand. It means he's walking. It means he's taken a path. Now, why has he taken this path? Because he is doing what? He's walking in the counsel of the ungodly. In other words, and this word counsel here is very interesting in the Hebrew. It literally means what has been proven in, What the wicked take pleasure in methods that he's pleased with. His pursuits, and this also includes business matters. There are believers who've entered into business, and yet they want to use the principle or the counsel of the wicked to guide them in business affairs. Well, here, my Bible tells me that a man won't be blessed that way unless the counsel has some wisdom of God attached to it. Amen? Now, here it says, nor stands in the path of sinners. Now, I wonder why he went from walking to standing, and the Lord told me. He said, this is a person who literally steps onto the path of a sinner where he can be enticed to place himself in that position. One who has placed himself in that position. In other words, it didn't say he's walking. He's saying he's entered into the path of a sinner. Are you following me? And that's where he's standing. Well, when you're standing in the path of sin, it means that you are literally promoting yourself to the enticement of sin. You don't step into the path of a sinner. You avoid that path. Because if you step into it, he will entice you or bait you to be taken out. Young people, you got boyfriends and girlfriends. Be careful of your fellowship with each other. Because moonlight nights and the right kind of music and the right kind of smooching can draw you into the path of your emotions. Yeah, I got to start preaching now. And needless to say, they violate their walk with their Lord. I'll tell you what, you don't want somebody that is willing to violate you in your walk with the Lord. You don't want nothing to do with that kind of person. You want that person to be just as convicted as you are and avoid those kind of areas. Nowadays, I suppose if I was young again, if I ever took a girl out, I'd make sure I was in the midst of a great crowd of people, knowing how I was when I was young, in a great crowd of people where I'm exposed to everybody with her and I'm talking to everybody and I don't give that occasion or that moment for smooching. Are you following me? When I don't know how to behave myself affectionately towards a woman. The wrong affections. Now notice he says, well, if it's this person, he's not going to do that. He's not going to stand in the path of a sinner. He won't be enticed to sin or to place oneself in that area. He won't do it. Nor sit in the seat of the scornful. This is a very interesting word, this word scornful. Matter of fact, this is a word that was used against the Lord Jesus. This word sit in the seat of the scornful means to fellowship with those who use their mouth to speak or to interpret by speaking what is foreign to godly wisdom. There's where the Hebrews picked up. It meant someone who's scornful. And I thought it was somebody who just blaspheme God, you know. That's how I used to take that word. But this word doesn't mean that. It means literally one who's in disagreement with the wisdom of God. And they'll use their mouth to say it. Now the word sit there, it's very interesting. It means to have an intimate fellowship with. You know, you ladies, you young ladies, single, don't mess with a darkness in men. Mess with a believer. Don't fellowship with darkness, fellowship with light. I can't understand why you see a Christian lady in our church just on fire for God, and then you find out where they went, and they hook up with some unbeliever someplace. What is that all about? When the Bible says, what fellowship has light with darkness? Well, I'll tell you what. It makes me wonder about your loyalties to God. If you're truly loyal to God, you don't stand in the path of sin. You stay away from that. That is not how you get delivered. The word scornful, literally, this is a very interesting word coming from the Hebrew mind, because they knew that they had the ultimate God. But when foreign nations would come against them, they would not listen to their wisdom or their mouth because they had come with what the Hebrews called a foreign language. Look that meaning up of that word. That means to come with a foreign language. Something that God wouldn't speak. Why? Because they would interpret what was foreign to them. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates. This word literally means he talks to himself. He talks to himself. Did you know in the Old Testament, well, the priests, you know what they were required to do? They had little phylacteries on their head. Did you guys know about that? It came with a band, and up in these little windows, this phylactery, they had scripture. And they would get the scripture that was most pertinent for them, and they would put it before their eyes. Because that's what the Bible says to do. Keep the Word of God ever before your eyes. And so they would do that. And I found that a lot of the children, off the parents would begin to learn the game side of their kids. Some of you probably don't know what that's about. Some of you might. Oh, I know what that kid will do. Well, what they would do is they'd give scripture to their children and make them wear these little phylacteries to keep the children ever mindful not to be prone to what they were prone to. Parental upbringing was very important to the nation of Israel. And if the child couldn't be controlled, take him out and kill him. Literally, that's what happened. You can't get away with that today. Don't do that. There are people doing that to their kids now that draw attention. God doesn't do that today, thank God. Now notice, he said, when he meditates day and night, this kind of person, it gives you an identity to what kind of person this is that meditates day and night. Well, what is it? First, he's what? He's like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You know what this verse is literally saying? When a guy is meditating day and night, it's because he's close to water supply. Have you ever seen a picture of an oasis? You see this big, huge, long desert. Right in the middle of it, you see a bunch of trees growing up. That's where this comes from. And these trees and the grass is real lush. And if you get in, there's where water is. That's why it's called an oasis. And so evidently, whatever's close to that water supply had reaped life, had reaped fruit. You guys following what I'm saying? So he's saying, when a guy delights in the law of the Lord and meditates it day and night, that means 24/7 in our language, it says then it's because he's close to a water supply. And this water supply, what it'll do is it'll bring forth fruit in its season, the right season, timing. And his leaf also shall not wither. In an oasis, the reason that the leaf is so productive, it's connected to a water supply, which creates the ability of the plant to draw sunlight. Boy, don't tell me nature itself doesn't amplify what the Word of God is all about. It says, therefore, he will always attract an understanding of what light is. My son called me one day, and he was beside the road, Tim. And he was listening to, he was beside the rivers of living water, if you know what I mean. And he was listening to a message from Joe Purcell when he was here this last time. It was good. It was incredible. And he said, he wasn't here, but he got the CD and he was listening to it, and he said the revelation of what John and I have been preaching all this time finally hit him. He saw it. And he was crying. He said, I'm so emotionally moved by this, I can't even concentrate on driving. I said, I know what you mean. You know, I've shared revelation with people that said, yeah, I got that revelation. I know all about it. I know that's the first sign they haven't. Because when you get a revelation from God, I don't know about you. I get excited emotionally. And I don't care who knows about it. Right. You mean you didn't know that? No, I didn't. That's powerful. What? Because I don't want to act like I know it all. We gave a man, a minister, a set of tapes called The Born Again Trail by Dave Roberson. He brought them back, threw them on John's desk and said, I know all about that stuff. Right away, he told me he didn't know it, he didn't hear anything in that tape. Well, he wrote a book called The Born Again Christian, which I read. He doesn't have the revelation of what it means to be born again. You see, you got to connect with the wisdom of God. You got to make a connection. You can't go and hear a preacher preach. You got to go and hear what is being said and connect with it. Most of us, we go into a church service, we try to justify our position rather than just paying attention to what is being said and how it can really apply to you personally, not somebody else.
Well, I wish so-and-so were here. Well, they should have been here when that message was preached.
Well, what about you? Might have done you some good. Now notice he says he's not only planted by a great supply. It brings forth what? Fruit in its right season. And he always has the ability to receive light. And whatever he does shall prosper. Whatever he does shall prosper. Whatever he does shall prosper. Are you prospering in whatever you do? If you're not, you're the problem, not God. Now notice, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. We go back over there in James, talk about the wind. You know what chaff means? It literally means something that has not taken root. Because when you lift the seed and grain of the chaff and you throw it up in the air, the chaff would blow away. But the seed would fall to the ground. And they'd get up into a high mountain place and that's what they'd do with the seed of the wheat. They'd toss it in the air so that the chaff could be blown away. So he's saying here, ungodly people, what happens is anything can dry them away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. Now, this verse can be very confusing because I had one person say, just because they're unbelievers doesn't mean that they're going to end up in the judgment of God. And he picked me to this verse. And I said, you don't understand what the word judgment meaning there. The word judgment here says, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. What he was talking about, the verdict, the justification of the righteous. Are you following what I'm saying? Those who have been justified, glory to God. Amen. You won't stand in that judgment as a sinner. You'll stand in the judgment of being sentenced. Not the judgment of justification of the righteousness of God. Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Those who practice sin do not sit under the word that brings his wisdom. The first thing flesh will do in your life, if you have a disloyalty to the Word of God as a believer and go to a church where the Word of God will indict you, that Christian will not stay there. They will find an excuse to remove them out from under that wisdom and go someplace else. Why? Because it indicts their dual loyalty. They want fire insurance on one hand, but listen, you know, you're so heavenly minded, you're always for good. You know, that you got to balance yourself out. You're just as much from flesh as you are spirit. You got to balance this baby out. I'll tell you what, you start balancing that out, that means then, if you want a true balance, it means you'll do righteousness on one hand and sin on the other. Balance it out. That's not what God means by a balance. You know what? When it says a false balance is abomination, you know, it's referring to scales. Do you know when you studied that out in the Hebrew, what went into shock? Do you know what that means? It means on a scale, when it talks about balancing, it talks about balancing the wisdom of God in comparison to sin, boom, like that. It means God's got to outweigh the other. That's what it means. God has to, on a scale, God has to outweigh the other. That's what it means. A false balance, meaning, in other words, it balances scale out like this, then that means you can walk in your flesh sometime and the spirit the next. And balance this thing out, and that way you're earthly good and heavenly minded too. No, you're not. You're just a nut. Now, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The word knows the way, but the way of the ungodly, the word way here is the same word. It's referring to walk. The path that they've taken. God knows the path of the sinner from the path of the righteous. So when it says the way, a better translation would be the walk. The walk. The walk. And so he's saying, they walk one path or they walk the other. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. This is a very interesting word. It literally means to wander so far off course that he loses himself. It means where it's talking about a man that he went someplace, he thought he had a destiny, he thought he knew where he was going, and the further he went to where he thought he should be, the more he got lost. How many of you are hunters? Bob, remember that? You were talking about how sometimes you get in the woods, you get disorientated, and you get lost. That's what it's referring. It's a person who going somewhere and gets so far that he's lost, he doesn't even know where he belongs. He's undone, totally. Well, I've been in those situations. They're freaky. It literally says he's wandered off. He's so far that this person has gotten so far out there that he could be destroyed. It means he could be put into danger. Bob and I and Carl was together one time. We were in the woods, and Bob and I decided to use our compasses and take a reading. Brilliant. So we took that reading. We took our compass reading to the exact number. So Carl joined us, and so we got into the woods, and we were walking around in the woods and everything, and we did our things in there, and we were talking and hunting and chasing all the elk away from us, and finally we decided to go back. And so I forgot who said what first, but for the story example, one of us said, "It's this way." So we start going that way, and we end up, there's no way to go. It's just thick brush. And the other one said, "Well, no, it's because it's over this way." "Oh, okay," so we'd go that way. And somebody say, "No, I disagree with you. I think it's over this way." And so we're lost. I mean, we're lost. Remember that, Bob? And so I don't know whether it was you or one of us said, "Let's use our compass reading." I think it was you, Bob. Bob said, "Well, let's just go by our compass reading." And Carl goes, "No, I know how that compass stuff works." Remember? He said, "Yeah, I don't go by that compass stuff." And yeah, I think it was you, Bob. Bob said, "Well, let's go by the compass reading anyway and see where we end up." And Carl said, "Well, I'll tell you what, if we're going to, all right," he says, "we'll go by this compass reading of yours. And boy, if it works out, I'll believe in compasses." So Bob and I, we started out on our compass reading, and Carl was following. So Carl said, "Man, you guys are way off. Remember that? You're way out. You're going the wrong way." And even Bob and I admitted, this feels like the wrong way. Remember that? It didn't feel right. But we stayed true to the compass reading. And guess where we come out? Right where the track was! Ah, right there! And Carl goes, "Well, I'll believe in compass reading." Well, that's what the Word of God is all about. It keeps you in such a way that you don't go off course. You don't get so far out there that you get lost and you don't even know where you belong. See, the Word of God does something with you. Turn over to Proverbs 4 in closing. Is Proverbs right after? Yeah, it is. I knew that all along. I did. In Proverbs chapter 4, Notice this in verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my saying. This word attention is a very interesting word. It literally means to listen and pay attention. It literally meant, in its day, it meant to have the ears of an alert animal. That's what the Hebrew says. It means to have the ears of an alert animal. You know what makes elk very difficult to hunt? Do you know what protects a bear? Not their seeing, their hearing. Do you know deer is the same way? They can hear. Have you seen their ears? Those suckers are big. They can hear. They count on what they can hear. Animals don't like storms. Remember, Billy, when you and I and Tim were up hunting together and got up in that windstorm and we saw more beautiful bucks. It was elk season. It wasn't deer season. But here we run into these trophy bucks, man, running all over the place. And wind was a-blowing and branches were shaking. Well, what happens to animals? They don't like getting into storms because then they can't focus what they hear because their hearing is polluted by massive things going on around them. Are you following what I'm saying? That's why you catch them out in the open a lot quicker than you would if there was no storm. Because their hearing detects more for their seeing than anything else. They can hear quicker than they can see something. So he's saying here, this is how you got to give attention to my word. You got to sharpen your hearing like an alert animal. It means your life. And he says, incline your ear to my sayings. That means to spread out, stretch, give every opportunity for you to hear it. Why? So that you do not let them depart from your eyes. This word depart means to turn you aside. It means so that you don't have the opportunity to lose the first opportunity to not hear. So you're not distracted, but you're alert and you're willing to hear, and you're just like that tree planted by a supply, and you're quick to hear and to listen to it. That's how important it is, the Word of God. Don't be turned aside at the first opportunity to lose interest in the Word of God. And keep them in the midst of your heart. The word midst here means literally right where a division can take place. In the midst where something can be divided. If the Word of God is right in the midst of your heart, then there will be no division. The Word of God solidifies everything. It keeps everything together. And notice this. For they are life to those who find them. You know what this Hebrew word means? For they are life. It means life to raw flesh. And health to all their flesh. Raw flesh again. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. The word issues here means direction. The geographical boundaries and direction that a person needs. And James says that when a man is divided in his loyalties, he becomes unstable. He's not subordinate to nothing. And this person can get so far out there, they've lost themselves. They don't know where they belong. I know some people do that about faith. They start out and if faith isn't working, they try other avenues. Whether you were never in faith to begin with, or you wouldn't try another avenue. That's the uniqueness of faith. There's no other way to interpret it. What does it mean? It means you're committed with no opposition. You're committed with no other opportunities. It means you're fully convinced when you act on it. Most of us go in there with, well, I'll go this way and see if it works. If it don't work, I'm going someplace else. Well, that'd be like going to McDonald's through their drive-thru. And drive up there and you sit for 5 minutes. That's it. I'm out of here. I'll go down the street to Jack in the Box. At least they know how to jack the food out. You know what I mean? And so, right as the teller goes to give you food, you drive off. You drive into Jack in the Box. Instead of 5 minutes, you're there 10 minutes. That's it, I'm going someplace else. Look, if you're a quick food eater, make sure it's quick food you're ordering. I hate sitting behind some of you. If I go to a fast food restaurant, it's because I want my food fast. And there are some people who order meals for half their neighborhood through a fast drive thing. Stretches my patience beyond myself. I lose the wisdom of God and I get lost. I just do that. That's a side step. Anyway. Did you guys get something here? Stick to the Word of God. Understand the Word of God. Get the understanding of the wisdom of God's Word so that you're established and you're never moved. So you never get lost. You stay on course. Hallelujah. You have direction for your life. Praise God. You have correction for your geographical boundaries. You know how far to go and how far not to go. Are you following me? It's incredible what the Word of God can do for your life. It's incredible. It's incredible. But people choose to not follow the Word of God. They choose to follow their own way. Thank God, God haven't left mankind to his own way. Amen. Thank God he hasn't left us to our own way. Now, it's not easy walking with God because sometimes you want your own way. Anybody ever watch your own way? God, I want this so bad. I want it so bad. God, are you listening to me? I want it. I want it, God. God, man, it's past midnight and I ain't got it yet. Well, I guess I'll get it myself. Stand up, everybody. Connect with the Word. Don't hear about it, but be doers of it. Connect with it. Hallelujah. Don't be unstable on your ways. Be on purpose. Don't let your life be like a conveyor belt. You just get dumped off in the end. Don't do that. Let your life be on purpose. Take the right path and walk in it. Avoid the counsel of the ungodly. Hallelujah. Not that the ungodly wouldn't have counsel to offer, but it's obvious they do. But you know, with the wisdom of God and God speaking to your heart, he can let you know what is truth and what isn't. Praise God, in spite of man. Amen. With every head bowed this morning. If you've never given your heart and life to Jesus, we want to give you the opportunity to come forward and give your heart and life to him. Your life means so much to the Lord. He wants to put meaning into it because he loves you so much. He loves men and women. He loves you with a compassion that's indescribable. It takes your lifetime to develop into it. His love is so deep for you. If you're not connected to him, then it has no meaning to you. But today, if you come forward and give your heart to him, he'll give meaning back to your life. Important meaning to your life. It means so much to him. Your life means something to the Lord. Might not to people, but to him, it means a lot. So even if you'd known the Lord at one time and you've backslid from him, then when we end this service, feel free to come up and let us pray for you. We want you to have blessedness in your life. We want you to have long life, and we want you to be blessed in it. And let us pray for you to restore that walk and to encourage you back to where you belong in him. It's always difficult to walk a walk on top of a fence. But when my feet are planted on the ground, I know where my foundation is. So much easier to walk that way. Get back where you belong as a believer and walk in God's ways. For it is the only way that's going to last. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost and would like to come into the full possession of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in that heavenly tongue, that is where your power, your source of your supply of power comes from. Then we want to see you filled with the Holy Spirit. So when we dismiss this service, I'll wait for you, and so will my altar ministers, and we'll be glad to minister to you and your needs. Salvation, restoration, or the infilling of the Spirit. So with that said, y'all dismiss, except for those that need to come to the altar call.